And now, Prophecy Q&A with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and Jimmy DeYoung Jr.
Thank you, Jay Johnson. This is Jimmy DeYoung Jr., and you're listening to Prophecy Q&A Live. This week, I'm still in Hungary, Tolmash, Hungary, at the beautiful Word of Life camps here in Hungary, a beautiful castle. If you get a chance, go online, take a look. It's a very beautiful location for a summertime camp. Their winter camps are there have here. They have a ministry to youth. And of course, I'm here teaching at the Bible Institute to the first and second year students. And these students come from all over the United States. We do have some here from the United States, from Hungary, of course, Brazil, Canada. As I'm looking at where all the students are from, the Czech Republic, Kazakhstan, Romania, France. And let's see, what are some of the other students that we have here? And I think I said Canada, Macedonia. I have a young man here that's from Macedonia. He and his wife, his name's Tony, and Tony is here studying to be a pastor, wanting to go back. And was telling me that, as we know, we do a lot of work in Montenegro. Tony was telling me in Macedonia the Christian community is very small there. And I told him, I know that God is going to use him, the seriousness at which he takes his studies here and being here, the responsibility that he has. I said, one of these days, Tony, I'm going to be with you there in Macedonia when you open up your church and you start your ministry. I want to be there to help and support you. I have students here from Serbia, Slovakia, and let's see, how many, Poland, and I'm trying to look at all the, from where all the students are from and give you an idea, but that's about 15 different countries of the world, 60 students here that we're teaching. I've been teaching the book of Daniel and Ezekiel. And a great ministry. Of course, our family has been involved with Word of Life for a long time. And growing up at Word of Life in Scroon Lake, New York, underneath the ministry of Jack Wurtson. And then, of course, I was working at Word of Life when the first missionaries came over and found this castle. They cleaned it up. I remember them talking about their first summer of camp here, their first big youth conference that they had here. And I knew all of those people back then. And I started coming in the mid-90s. I was doing soccer camps here. My past, the Lord has given me the ability, has given me, I always have to remind myself, being 54 years of age, it just seems like yesterday I was playing in college and playing professionally and coaching. But he did give me, in the past, he gave me that ability to be a goalkeeper in soccer. I was an All-American. And I took that talent that I had and would come over here in the summertime and I would do camps. I would do clinics and we would hold the sports camps just like we do in Montenegro. We first started doing that here in Hungary. A lot of those young men that I worked with back then in the mid-90s, they are the directors of this camp today. Chikos Gabor, who's the director of the camp, and Ban Attila, these Hungarian, Cardo Lazzi, all of these men that are involved in directing the camp today, they were all students back then. And it's just neat to see how the Lord works. And I challenged the young people. I said, hey, you don't know, if should the Lord tarry, should the rapture not happen, and I believe it's going to happen today. I live expecting an imminent return, that imminent rapture, that event to take place. But should the Lord not come back for a period of time, down the road, these students that are here now very well could be the leaders in directing a ministry in a country, taking that country for the Lord. And that's the exciting thing to me, being involved in teaching Bible prophecy here, helping them to understand the times in which we're living, helping them to understand eschatology, the study of the end times, and how that is so important in determining their theology and how they will then go and teach others in their churches on the mission field and their whatever they will be doing, whatever ministry they go into, or if they just go and they're going to be into a secular business, not in the ministry per se, quote, ministry, but they will still have a ministry wherever God puts them. And that's my encouragement to them, that they will understand the times in which we're living, just like Daniel did. Daniel would understand the times in which we're living. He understood his times, and he knew. And therefore, he was able to guide the people, his people, the Jewish people, in the book of Daniel. And that's what we've learned last week. I taught them, and I always say this, as we teach the fundamentals, the basic principles for understanding Bible prophecy, Daniel is a key book to understanding Bible prophecy. Without a proper understanding of the book of Daniel, it really is very hard to understand or come to a proper understanding of the book of Revelation. And that's just, we've taught that, we teach it in our school, our School of Prophets, the master's program, the doctoral program. I've taught that not only here, but in Canada. I've taught it around the United States and Romania. And I incorporate that in our teaching when we're in Israel. We pull portions of Daniel and help people to understand that they, when they come on their prophecy study tour with us to Israel, we definitely look at Daniel. And of course, we don't go as in-depth as we did here, 10 hours of teaching Daniel. And this week, I've been teaching Ezekiel. A great book. The message of God's message to the Jewish people, because they rejected, they were disobeying God. And so God's judgment on them for disobeying him, that came through Ezekiel to them. And not only to the Jewish people, but also to the nation surrounding the Jewish people. God allowed them to be carried away into captivity. And as a matter of fact, in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah prophesied it. Isaiah did also, that they would be carried away into captivity, that God would allow the king and give the king responsibility of the Jewish people to discipline them, but then that they would come back, that they would be restored back into the land. Ezekiel gives us information that we can use also in understanding God's plan for the Jewish people in the future. This alignment of nations in Ezekiel 38, the return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel, how they will come back as a nation, and then a future temple that will stand in the city of Jerusalem during the millennial kingdom. And that's what we've been teaching this week. Having a great time. This is the Passion Week. We started out this week. I spoke last Sunday in a town called Eger. I went over there and talked about Palm Sunday and talked about that's the time that we remember the triumphal entry of Christ into the city of Jerusalem, foretold by Daniel in Daniel chapter 9. The 70th week of Daniel, exactly when the Messiah would appear in the city of Jerusalem to be cut off. That's when the crucifixion took place. Tomorrow, on Friday, we remember the time of the crucifixion around the world. And, of course, on Sunday, we have Resurrection Sunday that's coming up. That time when we remember the most important event in all of history, I believe, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, the pivotal point in all of history, everything before the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, all of history past pointed to the coming of the Messiah, God's only Son, to die on the cross, to be put in the grave for 3 days, to conquer death, and then to raise again from the death. By going to the cross, he took all of our sins. He became that sacrifice once and for all of mankind. He died for their sins. And so everything in the past pointed to that point. And as we go forward from the cross, from the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, everything in the future looks back to that moment. So it's a very pivotal point. I feel the most important point in all of history was that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is the time, this Sunday, that we remember that. I hope that you will be in your churches, that you will take this message and ask your neighbors to go with you. Tell others about how God has established a way for mankind to have a relationship with him, and that's through the giving of his Son and to die on the cross, and death, 3 days in the grave, and raising and conquering dead. And right now, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. He has a kingdom in the future. That's that kingdom that we always talk about. That's that thousand-year period of time. Again, first mentioned in Daniel, talked about in Ezekiel. And we know that that is future yet to come because of a lot of the promises and the covenants that God made with the Jewish people will be fulfilled in that kingdom. And that's not until then. And we understand that God still has a plan for the Jewish people. Well, this is a Prophecy Q&A program, and here we are in Hungary, and we're going to take some questions. Let's see, our first question this week comes in, and I'm sorry, Alan, this has been a long time coming. We've been traveling, but Alan sends in a note. He says, hello, and thank you for your wonderful ministry. I have a question. Several weeks ago, I was listening to Prophecy Today, and Jimmy Sr. was explaining why he is sure the rapture is pre-trib, while also giving several verses to confirm his teaching. I cannot now locate the date of this particular prophecy today. Could you please give me this date so that I may listen to it again, or kindly give me the books and verses? Again, thanks for your teaching of the Word. I thoroughly enjoy listening every Thursday night, as well as reading the prophecy news every day. Thanks, Alan. Well, Alan, I wish I knew. I could look back at the time that you sent this. It was in February, so probably would have been a program in the first part of February. You can go back, and I'm sure at this point, Alan, listening to our Thursday night program, since you sent in your note to us, I'm sure that we have covered why we believe in a pre-trib rapture. And you can go through our archives and find that out. But really, basically, the hermeneutical principle involved is that for the first 2,000 years of human history, there were Gentiles on the earth from Genesis 1 to Genesis chapter 12. From Genesis 12 to Acts chapter 2, you have the second strand of the human family, the Jewish people that are on the earth. And from Acts chapter 2 to Revelation chapter 4, you have the third strand of the human family, and that would be the body of Christ or the church. We get that from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32, these three strands of the human family. It's very important because in the hermeneutics of understanding Scripture, it's a science really of interpreting Scripture, who the author is writing to at the time he writes those things. And so that's why the first 2,000 years of human history, there were only Gentiles on the earth. The second 2,000 years of human history, there were Gentiles and Jews. There were covenants that were made with those Jewish people that God must fulfill and keep his promise. And then for the third 2,000 years so far, that's about the time length of the second 2,000 years from the time when Christ was crucified on the cross to his death, burial, and resurrection, to Acts chapter 2 when Peter preaches that message in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. That's when the church began. And so for the last 2,000 years, we've had three strands of the human family. And as you study the Scriptures, there were things that were written and people that were mentioned, promises, conditions, covenants with the Gentiles, the Jews, and the Christians. So we use that as we study Bible prophecy to figure out, you know, who the tribulation period is for. We understand in Daniel chapter 9 that the tribulation period is for the Jewish people. And that 70th week of Daniel, that last week of the 70 weeks of Daniel that will take place is the tribulation period. That's to bring an end to the iniquity of the Jewish people. That's what Daniel said. And when he was given an understanding of the 70th weeks and this time period. So in this time period, as we understand that the 70 weeks are given a time period as to 69 weeks as to when the Messiah, from the going forth to the decree to build the rebuild the city of Jerusalem and the walls and the streets and the temple, that's when the Messiah would come and be cut off. So there's been and it's almost like God has pushed a pause button from the time that on his master plan of bringing the Jewish people and giving this kingdom to Jesus Christ. And that's where we come up with this time period of the last, the last 2,000 years when the body of Christ has been on the earth. and when they will go. And we understand that the next event on God's calendar, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 55, Revelation chapter 4, the rapture of the church. Jesus first mentioned that in John chapter 14. When he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. Where I'm going, you can't go, but I will bring you unto myself." He first mentions this event of the rapture, and it's the rapture of the church, the saints. And all of these passages I've given to you, Alan, are all talking about a rapture, and we believe that that's a rapture of the church, the Christians, the body of Christ. And we understand, as we look at this timeline, the book of Revelation that is given to Christians, we understand in chapter 1, we see a vision. We get a glimpse of the person and the power of Jesus Christ in his program. And then chapters 2 and 3, we see the last of the seven, the last words of Jesus Christ to the seven churches. And Revelation chapter 4, we point to that moment as the time of the rapture of the church, a description. And he said, Revelation chapter 4, "And after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, 'Come up hither, and I will show you the things that must be hereafter.' And immediately I was in the Spirit." So this is where we get the rapture of the church. Now let me just tell you this, Alan. The church is mentioned. Remember that hermeneutical principle I was talking about? Talking first 2,000 years Gentiles, second 2,000 years Gentiles and Jews, and there were certain passages that were given to the Gentiles and the Jews. And then from Acts chapter 2 until Revelation chapter 4, we have the body of Christ. 25 times in the book of Revelation, the church is mentioned. 19 times between Revelation chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 4. 0 times from Revelation chapter 4 to Revelation chapter 19. And then 6 times after Revelation 19:11. So if the church is not mentioned from Revelation chapter 4 to Revelation chapter 19:11, then it must not be. And that time period that those chapters cover, from basically beginning 4 and 5, where we see, we get a glimpse of the throne room of heaven, who's there, the body of Christ, excuse me, and while there, and then Revelation chapter 6, the unveiling, the opening, the breaking of those seals, those first 7 sealed judgments, that begins the tribulation period. The church is not mentioned there, so it must not be in this time period that covers from Revelation chapter 6 to Revelation 19:11, which is that tribulation period. So that's why we suggest and we believe that the tribulation period is not meant for the church. As a matter of fact, in Revelation chapter 3, one of those letters to the seven churches, the church at Ephesus, the church at Philadelphia. And you remember those messages that were given to those seven churches. Church at Philadelphia said, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." God's promise, if we are overcomers, and overcomers, someone that has overcoming, according to 1 John, back in the book of 1 John, if you go there and you'll look, you'll see what an overcomer is. An overcomer is someone that has overcome verse John chapter 5, and it says, verse 4, "For whatsoever is born of God is overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" So an overcomer is someone that overcomes the world, that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And so these overcomers are promised that they will be kept from that time of that hour of trouble, that hour of temptation, or that hour of tribulation, referring to the tribulation period that's on the earth. And a short synopsis, Alan, that's exactly what we are sharing with you as far as why we believe in a pre-trib. And again, you could go back all of our programs and see that time period. As a matter of fact, the rapture is an imminent event. I like this. I like the thought that the rapture is an imminent event. We live every single day prepared, ready to stand before the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to give an account to how we lived our lives. That's Revelation chapter 4 and 5, that judgment seat of Christ that's talked about. But if you look, and if you're reading the book of Revelation, you will see that there are days that are given there, describing the seven-year period of time, and exactly when events will take place during this seven-year period of time. I like to point people to the fact that, you know what, the rapture cannot really be an imminent event if we know when the tribulation is going to begin. We know that because that's what Daniel chapter 9 tells us. The tribulation, this last 70th week of Daniel, begins, seven-year period of time, when the Antichrist confirms a peace agreement with Israel. We would know, wow, okay, we've got 3.5 years. Some people believe that, the rapture is mid-trib. Some believe it's after the tribulation period. So it's not really an imminent event if in the scriptures it gives us the days when certain events are going to take place, the exact days, 3.5 years for the first part of the tribulation period, 3.5 years for the second part. There are events that take place. And if you can point to a day, then all we have to do, most people would do, we would just live our lives normal. We wouldn't do anything. We wouldn't be busy. And maybe we would get very serious once we see the confirmation of the peace agreement with Israel, with the Antichrist. Or maybe, understand what I'm saying? We live expecting the rapture to take place at any moment. That helps us to live pure and productive holy lives. Hope I made sense to you, Alan. After many hours of studying and trying to answer this real quick for you, if I confused you, I'm sorry. You can go back and listen to that. But I think I've made it clear that the rapture of the church, we believe in a pre-trib, pre-millennial. We believe that the rapture is the next thing to happen on the earth and that the church will be gone at the rapture of the church. Thanks, Alan, for sending that in. Thank you for your good, your encouraging words, your good words that you said to us. We really appreciate it. We have a message that comes in from Bruce Sterling. Bruce says, thank you for your valuable Saturday radio program. I try hard to pick it up on my computer every week. This is a great resource and very relevant. Well, thank you, Bruce, for sending those words to us. Folks, and if you knew my father and the work that he does and his travel and all that he's doing, you would understand, too, that, man, he works so very hard to bring you this information on a every weekend, Saturday, and then he works throughout the week with our daily programs that we do, our 5-minute daily, our 15-minute daily. This is his drive, and what he does is to help the body of Christ to understand where we are and the times in which we're living, and this is what he does. And thank you, Bruce, for recognizing that and helping us to. And yeah, we would love to continue. Radio stations across the United States carry us, and they help us take this message to the body of Christ. There are people that believe just like we do, and what we believe in, and want to get this message out, and the study of Bible prophecy and understanding. And where we are, and helping the body of Christ to realize the urgency of the hour, why we need to do what we're doing, and why we need to stay the course. Again, Bruce, I thank you for sending this in, but you make a very valid point. There are people out there that need this information. It's very relevant so that the body of Christ can stay on track. So many times today, Satan is, he's the master deceiver. And what he is, he's using deception, signs, wonders, and miracles. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 talks about Satan's ministers, his demons can become ministers of light. And so we have to understand these things, and we're going to see that deception, according to Jesus, as he gave some instructions to his disciples about this tribulation period, this time, the seven-year period. But one indication that we get that we're living right before that tribulation period, which happens after the rapture of the church, so we're getting very close to the rapture, is that deception is that number one sign that we're living in the end times. And we need to help the body of Christ to understand where we are, what's happening, what's taking place in the world. So thank you, Bruce, for helping us and recognizing the fact. Another note comes in from Tom Berean. It says, greetings. I listen to Dr. DeYoung on Brandon House's weekend program every Friday through WVCY Radio in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I also have been seen Dr. DeYoung's presentation he did in the nearby city of Waukesha. Excuse me if I pronounce that wrong, all you folks out there in Wisconsin. I was brought up as a pre-trib millennialist. I currently attend a Lutheran church. I know it's a tall task, but I'm wondering if your ministry could consider going to the following link provided below and read their eschatological dogma and produce a reply. Well, Tom, thank you. I will pass this on to Dave James, and he's our resident theologian, and he can put this stuff out. I did go to the link that you provided, and we'll try to get you an answer to help you. Again, that's why we teach people. It's easy to understand if you study Bible prophecy, and it can help you to come up with your own reply. But let me just encourage you to be loving, to be caring. As I teach students here, a lot of students come from Europe, and their pastors are people that come from a Lutheran background, a Reformed theology, Calvinistic in nature, and I encourage them in love as you go back. Sometimes people have these things out of ignorance. This is the way that they were taught. This is all that they know. But if you take the basic fundamentals for understanding Bible prophecy, and you present people with that in the right spirit, and not a spirit of what would be the spirit that I'm the word I'm looking for, one that would be of a conflict of nature. But just presenting, saying, look, listen, this is, you have to look at scripture this way. You have to look at Bible prophecy. And we've always said that your eschatology determines your theology. And I think that's very true with a lot of churches that have a wrong view of the end times, the study of the end times, the last days. And therefore, it really determines what they teach and what they study and how they live their lives and their churches. So, Tom, I would encourage you to become a student of the Word. I'll send this on to Dave James. He's very good at this kind of thing. As a matter of fact, I'll forward it to him right now and see if he can get you something pretty quick. But thank you, Tom, for sending in your note and your encouragement to us. And hopefully Dave will be able to get you a response. I'm typing it out right now. Can you help Tom? That's what I said. So we'll see. He'll send it to you. And thank you for sending that in to us, Tom. And for being, I think you have a burden for your church, and I think that's the right attitude to have. And I remember Dr. Dwight Pentecost used to say, it's very important. Bible prophecy can be very profitable for our lives, but it also can become a danger. One, you get too involved in studying Bible prophecy that you forget why it's there. It's to motivate us to understand the urgency of the hour, to evangelize, to be busy about, what the responsibility that God has given to us. And that's to tell others about the greatest gift that's ever been given, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I want you to, remember that as you do this, don't get so caught up in it that we forget our responsibility of being involved in the church and being involved in men and women's lives and helping them to become more Christ-like every single day. Thank you, Tom. Thank you for sending that in. Laura sends in a question, and thank you, Laura, for sending this in. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, who do you say that he who hinders, the quote is? Well, I believe you're referring to, and I use the King James Version, so I think this is what you're referring to, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. The general consensus, Laura, of the identity of he who now letteth, as it says in the King James, or he who hinders, it's a Holy Spirit that is in the church who will be taken out of the way in the rapture. When the church is raptured, Laura, the world will be plunged into lawlessness and chaos. For the restrainer will be gone. This does not mean that the Holy Spirit will not be here to reprove the world of sin. That's John 16:8. According to Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 32, he will be poured out in great measure and a great multitude which no man could number. And that's all of those people that come to know the Lord during the tribulation period. Those, of course, are people that have never had an opportunity to accept Christ, or if they've heard the gospel message and rejected it. You will not have an opportunity to accept Christ during the tribulation period. You'll be caused to believe a lie. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. But here, we see that the Holy Spirit will be on the earth, but it's the restrainer, the church, that has the Holy Spirit within them that when they're removed, the Antichrist will be able to come on and do his role. Revelation 7, 9, that number that no man could number will come to faith in Christ as a result. However, there will be no restraining force against lawlessness and sin as it exists today, which keeps the Antichrist from arriving on the scene. So that's our bottom line on that, the Holy Spirit within us. And people always ask me, well, what do you mean? Well, once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into you. It never leaves you. And that Holy Spirit, that part of us that as we are on the earth, as we are doing things, people can tell that the Holy Spirit's within us. They should be able to, that we are believers in Jesus Christ, that we have accepted Christ as our personal Savior. And if they can tell that, they know it's the working of the Holy Spirit through us and that keeps people respecting. I know I'm playing a lot of sports, being involved with a lot of men and different things like this. People know that I'm a Christian. When I come around, they will stop telling dirty jokes, or if they swear, they will apologize to me. Oh, I'm very sorry. Same thing with my wife. She works in politics, and you know, they know of her stand and what she believes and what her husband does as he travels around the world and how we try to raise our family. And they're very respectful of that. When we're gone, the Antichrist and Satan, false prophet, will have free reign to do whatever they will. And that's who the restrainer is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So thank you, Laura, for sending in that question. Hopefully that helps you. Sometimes it clears up confusion in people, but there are people out there that do have confusion as far as that, and some that try to build when the rapture is going to take place according to that verse. And we have a letter that came in, a rather long letter from Mark Macko. Thank you, Mark, for sending that in. You know, you're talking about our administration, the President of the United States, and what he's doing. And no, Mark, I would never, and I would love to read this long one for you folks, but time won't permit it this week. But Mark, thank you for sending that in. Yes, I believe that God is allowing world leaders to make decisions that will bring about his plan. And that's what he's doing. We are to, according to the book of Romans, we are to honor the President of the United States and those in authority over us. But we do know, and we should pray for them. We're encouraged to do that. But we do know that world leaders, God uses world leaders in history past, history present, to accomplish his wills. He will do that in history future during the tribulation period. And he uses world leaders to bring about his plan. And I believe that that's what's happening in the United States of America. I always try to encourage people, we are citizens of heaven. Yes, we should be about saving people that live in the United States, helping, bringing the gospel message to them. But we're not going to save the United States. There are bigger empires than ours that have fallen. And there's nothing, should the Lord tarry, that says that the United States would still be the United States in 10 or 15 years. I don't think it's the United States that it was back in when I was growing up as a kid. Surely, according to you, Mark, the same with you. We would never have thought that we would see this. We understand the principle about the Abrahamic principle of the covenant that God made with Abraham and the descendants of Abraham, that those that bless you, I will bless them. Those that curse you, I will curse them. I think the United States has stood strong for a lot of years because of its support for Israel as a nation. But once we turn our back on Israel, and I think we have a bigger problem as a country of the world, and God has to bring judgment on us. Any country that allows abortions to be done as we do in the United States, the killing of innocent lives as we do, or that he allows sodomites, as Dad calls them, gay lesbian people to run rampant in the streets and even encouraging their lifestyle. God, just as God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, he will have to judge the United States. I would encourage you, Mark, to be about telling others about what Jesus Christ has done, not so much worrying about what President Obama is doing. I would worry about getting the gospel message, telling others that unless they have a saving knowledge of the Savior and that they believe that God sent his only Son to die on Calvary's cross to take away our sins, if that's the only way to heaven is by believing that he died on the cross and 3 days later conquered death and rose again. That's the gospel message, and we need to tell others about that. Mark, keep up the good work in your community and what you're doing. I encourage you to tell others about not only about America and their role and world events as they're taking place, how America will be judged, but God's plan and why people need to have Jesus as their personal Savior. This last note, and we'll finish it up for this week, coming to you from Hungary. Annie Matthias sends in a question. Then what do we make of Revelation 21:9? And I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife, which he says is the new Jerusalem. And what of Revelation 19? As you say, we the church are the Lamb's wife. How are we to know which is which? This could be very confusing. Please expound a little clearer in both passages. Well, there is the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's Jesus Christ is that Lamb that was slain. It refers to that in Revelation chapter 5. We are his bride. We are the bride of Christ. And there are several passages throughout the scripture that talk about us being his bride. And as Christ is as the husband, as the, as a matter of fact, let me take you there. And I know that you know this, so you're not confused about the bride of Christ being wedded to Jesus Christ. And that is the marriage supper of the Lamb. That takes place in the 7-year period of time. And then we have an event on earth as we are celebrating. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, verse 21, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So we see here that an example of Christ being the groom, the husband, and the bride being the church. And that's what it's talking about in Revelation 19. At the marriage supper of the Lamb, we are wedded together, and then we come back to the earth with Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 21, it's clear that that is describing a city. In the same context as you are looking at this, it's a description as the bride is adorned. In Revelation chapter 21, as it talks about this, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. It's talking about the beauty. It's talking clearly about the city. And then it goes on and explains. And then over in verse 9, it says, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain place, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven." So we see in these two situations in Revelation chapter 21, it's a description of this, the city of Jerusalem, the new city, the holy city of Jerusalem, descending out of heaven. In Revelation chapter 19, it's and again, it's using the typology of the beauty of a bride. That's how he's describing this scene of the new city, Jerusalem. Hopefully that helps you, Annie. Take a look at that. I would suggest some great commentaries to get, a Bible knowledge commentary. That's with Dr. John Walvoord, who is, I think, again, one of the foremost authorities on Bible prophecy, along with Dr. Dwight Pentecost, Dr. Charles Ryrie, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, my father. They're all out there, and they provide good commentaries for you to look at. There are people out there, though, who will mix up those two, and I can understand how it would be confusing to you, especially if this was a way that it was explained to you, or a commentary that you are using that mixes up these two, as the new city of Jerusalem being the Christians are coming down. Well, anyway, get you a good commentary, Annie, and take a look at that and study it. And make sure that you're using these passages in the context in which they are given. Thank you so much, folks, for joining us this week. We appreciate you as we're coming to you from Tolmash, Hungary. We've been here teaching the Word of God. I'll go home on Saturday. I leave early in the morning. My flight leaves Hungary at 6 o'clock. I arrive back in the United States 9 o'clock at night. We are 7 hours ahead. It's a long day. I'm home for 2 days, and then I'll be flying out to Redding, California to be a part of the Alpha and Omega Conference at Shasta Bible College. So keep us in prayer and be praying for us. And thank you all for those that have been praying for us as we've been here teaching, those that contributed to our ministry to help us to teach these young men and women that are going forth and teaching and will be teaching others in the future as pastors, missionaries, and as Sunday school teachers, whatever ministry that God has for them. I've been showing them the times in which we're living, and as we keep our eyes around the world on things that are taking place, the rapture of the church cannot be far away. Let's keep looking up until.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Jay Johnson inviting you to join us again next week for more of Prophecy Today. Prophecy Today is a listener-supported production of Shofar Communications in Chattanooga, Tennessee.